fresh details emerge on how Iran thwarted an Israeli sabotage plot against its defensive missile program. Iranian national Hamid Nouri, who illegally sentenced to life in prison in Sweden over alleged rights abuse, goes on appeal trial. Also coming up, Moscow accuses the US of military-grade biological activities in biolabs established around Russia, warning of the emergence of new viruses. Our top story this hour, fresh details have emerged from a major Israeli sabotage attempt against Iran's defense industries that was thwarted by the country's intelligence. Military officials say a professional team led by the Israeli spy agency Mossad was seeking to sabotage Iran's defense and missile industries by supplying defective connectors from abroad. The saboteurs were trying to equip these connectors with explosive circuits which could be programmed to blow up at a specific time. Military authorities say if the sabotage had occurred, it would have cost the country around $19 million in losses. The conspiracy was detected after an Iranian civilian suspected why the company selling the connectors insisted on getting information. He then tipped off the Iranian Defense Ministry, which prompted the intelligence apparatus to identify and keep a close watch on the Israeli-led network before finally foiling its plot. It was the biggest military sabotage attempt against Iran in the past 100 years. September the 1st marks Air Defense Day in Iran. Since the eight-year Iraqi-imposed war on Iran, the Islamic Republic has made great advancements in its defense capacities, and this occasion is a time to review those achievements. Gisu Mish Ahmadi tells us more.
Iranian air defense radar on guard. You are approaching Iranian FIR. Establish communication and identify yourself. And keep clear, over.
Keeping a watchful eye on Iran's airspace. Vigilantly looking out, making sure no hostile aerial vehicle can infiltrate the country. With its fully homegrown surveillance, communications, anti-aircraft guns, and other air defense equipment, Iran's air defense force is today considered a strong deterrent in the region.
The equipment we are using is comparable with some of the best of its kind in the world. Today, Iran is number one deterrent force in the region, and it is known to all our enemies that they should not mess with Iran. Every single thing that happens in our territory is under constant supervision, and most importantly, this is done with equipment we have managed to make without any foreign help.
Mesbah, Samavat, Bavar 373, and Sayyad or Hunter air defense systems are only a few to name.
Over the past decades, Iran has made great achievements in its defense capabilities. Today, the Iranian Army's air defense force is completely self-reliant in producing the military equipment that it needs and is also capable of exporting them.
Meanwhile, acquiring the know-how to manufacture military equipment has its own perks and benefits, too. At the National Defense Industry Exhibition, an entire section has been dedicated to non-military machines and devices that are made using such know-how.
There are many instances where the know-how that we have acquired in the defense industry can be applied in non-military areas to make life better and easier. For example, in the shipbuilding industry and the production of large seagoing vessels, there are many applications for the technology that we have developed. Also, in the healthcare industry, we have managed to cooperate with knowledge-based companies to produce laparoscopy equipment system and ICU cardiac monitoring monitors. But most importantly, we have built a firefighter drone equipped with a fire-extinguishing payload that can store up to 30 to 40,000 liters of water. It has a high-definition camera, and it can fly to tall buildings of 60 to 100 meters high.
And that is why, for those visiting, every single appliance on display at this exhibition is a reason to swell with pride. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Now, Iranian national Hamid Nouri, who has been illegally imprisoned in Sweden since 2019, is appearing before a court as he appeals against his conviction and a sentence. Nouri had filed a petition against his life sentence awarded by a Swedish court in July last year. The sentence was issued over allegations of human rights abuses leveled against him by members of the anti-Iran Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK, terrorist organization. That's a terrorist group responsible for killing at least 12,000 Iranians. Nouri has rejected the accusations as politically motivated. He has recently lamented his ordeal in the Swedish jail. Our correspondent in Stockholm, Robert Carter, told us more about Hamid Nouri's appeal, trial, and his sufferings inside the Swedish jail.
I have attended and witnessed some of today's session, although it's in the Swedish language. I haven't been able to understand the ins and outs of what's taken place. But what I can tell you is I have seen for the first time, actually, since reporting on this story, Hamid Nouri himself. He appears to be greatly frustrated by today's events. There's a lot of negative gesturing, shaking of the head, and what appears to be a great outrage at what's being put against him. It appears as if there is more evidence being brought forward. We're seeing documents which look to be decades old and things like that, and testimonies and memoirs being brought up of alleged victims. That type of thing is being read out. Obviously, he's broken records here for the amount of solitary confinement that he's served. He's actually holding the highest record for a number of days that he's served as a prisoner in solitary confinement here in Sweden. So he's literally breaking records in that regard. Yes, reports of regular strip searches, the mental distress that's caused through being in solitary confinement for long, extended periods of time, denied access to his family, denied communication rights to his family. All of this has been reported on a regular basis. Also, his health is apparently deteriorating. He has an eye problem, medical issues which are very difficult to treat, and he's complained to his legal team about the lack of access that he's had to medical care for his specific eye problem.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian is on an official visit to Lebanon to meet senior Lebanese officials. So let's cross over to Beirut, bring in Maryam Saleh, our correspondent there. Maryam, welcome. What are we expecting to be on the agenda, Maryam, of the Iranian Foreign Minister's trip to Lebanon?
Yes, well, of course, as usual, there is a meeting between the Iranian foreign minister and the Lebanese foreign minister. They have been meeting for the last hour or so, and they have just started a joint press conference. Of course, we are expected to learn from them about the details that were going on through the talks today, whether there will be bilateral agreements on in the economic sector. But there are also, of course, the fact that they have always stressed that bilateral ties between Lebanon and Iran go way back. They're quite historic. And so therefore, this is just part of the continuous friendly relations between Lebanon and Iran. Mr. Abdollahian stressed in previous talks upon arriving to Lebanon, the fact that Iran always looks forward and hopes for a Lebanon that is prosperous that is sovereign and independent, of course, even developed, and working towards not only independence on the level of when it comes to occupation and facing the Israeli occupation, but also when it comes to issues related to the industry and the economic sector as well. And they hope that the people, the countries of the region and the world would assist Lebanon and not enforce any more sanctions upon Lebanon. Of course, we also heard from him giving some insight on the meetings between himself, the Iranian foreign minister, and the Saudi officials. He stressed that he heard positive and constructive remarks from Saudi officials regarding Lebanon, that they would be assisting Lebanon, especially on issues related to the election of a president. As you know, this is a crisis that Lebanon has been going through since the end of the term of President Bisharon. And so, therefore, it is always on the table of talks for any official, any foreign official, and even the Lebanese among themselves. However, we don't have direct dialogue among the Lebanese factions except between Hezbollah and the Free Patriotic Movement, who at the beginning, of course, did not see eye to eye and did not have a joint candidate, despite the fact that they are allies. And so, therefore, they're going to constructive talks in order to find common ground, common denominator, in order to, let's see, there would be some sort of an agreement when it comes to going to the parliament and elections. However, you do have certain factions that have refused to come to dialogue, even within French mediation. So this proves that there is some sort of U.S. intervention, interference when it comes to basically prohibiting those Lebanese factions of going to talks with Hezbollah, with its allies as well also, and even with those that are independent. So I think we will hear from Mr. Foreign Minister, from Mr. Abdullahian, the fact that they are encouraging that there are talks among the Lebanese, since the election of a president would assist Lebanon on beginning, on going on the track of resolving its crises. And so, of course, in addition to the fact that Iran has always voiced its support for Lebanon and its resistance and its army in the face of continuous Israeli threats and violations of its sovereignty.
Maryam, thank you very much. Elsewhere, the deputy head of Russia's Security Council has accused the United States of involvement in military-grade biological activities in Ukraine. Dmitry Medvedev said evidence about Washington's illegal biological activities has been found during Russia's special military operation in Ukraine. He said the Pentagon has set up dozens of specialized bio labs around Russia, warning that the world may see the emergence of new viruses of artificial origin. Medvedev also dismissed the U.S.'s claims that these bio labs are engaged in purely scientific work. He said Russia should be ready to counter external threats and prevent the spread of new infections. His warning came after earlier in August, U.S. presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr., said Washington has created biological laboratories in Ukraine. He added that the laboratories were part of the Pentagon's programs for developing biological weapons. Russia has warned that the West's approval of Ukraine's strikes on Crimea could set the stage for a disastrous war with the West. Moscow says any green light to Ukraine's attacks on Crimea gives it the right to take action against each and every NATO member. The stern warning has been issued by Dmitry Medvedev, deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council.
Russia has warned that the West's approval of Ukraine's attacks on Crimea could set the stage for a disastrous war between Moscow and Kiev's Western allies. The warning has been issued by the deputy chairman of Russian Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev. The former Russian president has warned any green light to Ukraine's attacks on Crimea entitles Moscow to take action against, quote, each and every NATO member. He added that such an approval would be considered direct legal evidence of the West's complicity in the war against Russia. Medvedev's comments came after a senior Ukrainian official said Washington supports strikes on Crimea if Kiev deems them necessary. Mikhail Podolyak, senior advisor to Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, has also said there is absolute consensus amongst Western countries that Kiev can destroy anything that belongs to Russia in territories taken by Moscow. Medvedev has repeatedly warned Kiev that Moscow would have to use a nuclear weapon if Ukrainian forces set foot on Russian territory. Medvedev has said if the West truly supports what Mikhail Podolyak says, it would signal an apocalyptic risk of the end of the world. Moscow has said that the collective West is waging a proxy war against the Russian nation, with the Ukrainian troops under Kiev's command merely providing the cannon fodder for the conflict.
Here you have one country which has 100 million more people than the other country and has much deeper military-industrial capacity, can make more missiles, make more bullets, make more tanks than the other country. So over time, the bigger country is almost certain to win, correct? This is a physics principle. Right. It's not a statement of allegiance. You're not a shill for somebody for acknowledging that. If we're wrestling and you outweigh me by 100 pounds, you're probably going to win because you're bigger. That's a fact.
Meanwhile, the U.S. has announced a new $250 million military aid package for Ukraine, including air defense munitions, mine clearing equipment, and medical vehicles. The U.S. has provided Ukraine with more than $43 billion in military aid since the war with Russia began in February 2022. Russia has warned time and again that Western arms supply to Ukraine will only prolong the war and add to the suffering of Ukrainian people themselves.
Meanwhile, the Biden administration is working to reach a deal with Ukraine for long-term military support to keep backing the war with Russia. According to media reports, the commitments would make it difficult for a future president to exit. The effort is part of a commitment made by G7 nations at the recent NATO summit in Vilnius to negotiate their own bilateral security deals with Ukraine. Besides the G7 nations, 18 other countries have agreed to provide long-term military support for Kiev.
The United States, NATO, and the EU are on the wrong path. And at the very most, it could lead to their destruction. And at the very least, it will destroy the euro. It will destroy the dollar. It will destroy the Western economy.
Reports say Western officials are looking for ways to lock in pledges of support and limit future governments' abilities to backtrack, amid fears in European capitals that Donald Trump, if he recaptures the White House, will seek to scale back the aid. The United States has announced $250 million in fresh military aid to Ukraine. The package is said to include equipment for clearing mines and obstacles, as well as missiles, artillery rounds, anti-armor missiles, and more than 3 million rounds of small arms ammunition. Kiev has already received more than $43 billion US dollars from the US in the form of weapon systems like howitzers and millions of rounds of ammunition, including widely banned cluster munitions since last February when Russia started a special military operation in Ukraine. The flow of arms to Ukraine has raised concerns in some European capitals. Former Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte has said NATO's strategy regarding the conflict in Ukraine has not led to the outcome desired by the alliance, and the economic sanctions imposed on Russia have not crippled its economy. According to Conte, the strategy pursued so far in NATO, based on constant military supplies to Ukraine and the logic of escalation, did not lead to a military defeat for Russia. The US and its allies have pledged to give Ukraine F-16 fighter jets, but military experts now believe jets are not going to be a silver bullet for Kiev.
And that report wraps up World News for this hour.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
The Iranian nation has the art of turning sanctions and threats into opportunities and wealth. The recent inauguration of Gaxaran Petrochemical Complex is a testimony to that. The Petchem plant came into operation recently with the aim of strengthening the oil and gas value chain that leads to increased job opportunities, prevention of crude sale, and generating hope for the future of young Iranians. Up until the last quarter of the 20th century, production of petrochemicals was concentrated in Western Europe, the United States, and Japan. Over the last few decades, however, production in places with competitively priced feedstocks has increased dramatically. Accordingly, new production capacity has been built in different parts of Asia, especially in West Asia. This new capacity employs the latest technologies on the largest scales with some of the cheapest available feedstocks and, as a result, has changed the competitive landscape of this industry. In line with this trend, the coming on stream of the Gaxaran petrochemical plant, which has mostly relied on the potential and capacity of Iranian experts and companies, is a true example of Iran's resistance in the face of the economic terrorism perpetrated by the U.S. West Bloc on the Iranian nation.
When I go to other countries, I tell the heads of state that our nation has this art to turn threats and sanctions into opportunities. And the Gaxaran petrochemical project is a case in point in which all these threats and sanctions were turned into opportunities and wealth.
Increasing the production of petrochemical industry means increasing exports and, as a result, earning more revenues for the country. In this regard, no other industry can be compared with the petrochemical industry with respect to earning foreign currency for the Islamic Republic, especially under the impact of unlawful and unilateral and inhumane U.S. sanctions. For a closer look at these issues, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. On July 17th, Yazdanjan Petrochemical, dubbed as the most Iranian petrochemical project, was inaugurated and put into operation. This pride of Iranian petrochemical industry is the direct result of the efforts made by domestic engineers and workers. To know more about this massive petrochemical project, we went to the Yazdanjan central office in Tehran, where we met with engineer Shekarzadeh, a senior manager of the complex. He told us about the significance of the project, a first, biggest, and best of its kind, a role model for future petrochemical initiatives, or to quote from him, a benchmark.
I can say for sure that what has been done in the Yazdanjan petrochemical complex is a benchmark for all industry sectors across the country. It's a role model for all the organizations. Needless to say, our human resources are great. They're skilled, talented, and above all, love their country. We just need to give them an opportunity to practice what they've already learned in classrooms and laboratories.
The launch of the plant has generated 1,000 direct jobs in the under-resourced regions of southern Iran, while another 3,000 jobs will be created on the supply chain of the industry elsewhere. Iran's oil minister Javad Oji said that over 83% of the project has been constructed by the local companies and workforce, providing Iran with over 269 million euros in savings. In addition, OG said some 70 Iranian firms have contributed to designing, building, and installing vital equipment in the project. Engineer Shekarzadeh told us that the Yazdanjan petrochemical project was also a litmus test for Iranian knowledge-based companies. The Yazdanjan complex is considered to be the most Iranian petrochemical project. Can you explain what that means?
In the Yazdanjan petrochemical project, we signed contracts exclusively with the Iranian companies for the first time ever. I'd like to describe the Yazdanjan petrochemical project with this phrase, the petrochemical project of the first ones, because we did many things in different fields for the first time. For example, we relied heavily on Iranian knowledge-based companies, although it was risky, but in the end it was rewarding. It was also a good opportunity for them to demonstrate their capabilities.
The project has cost 1.3 billion euros, and the basic and most important element in the implementation of the project has been to rely on and trust the domestic capacity and support knowledge-based companies. In addition to advancing its big projects, PGPIC has interacted with knowledge-based centers and more than 70 Iranian companies in order to design, manufacture, and install the necessary important equipment in the Yazdanjan plant. In this regard, 33 million euros worth of sensitive and high-tech equipment has been domesticated for the first time. Therefore, Yazdanjan Petchem has been regarded as the most Iranian olefin unit in the country. This is engineer Saidi, an Iranian petchem expert. He explained to us why the Yazdanjan project was so significant in the country's industry as a whole. He was also of the same opinion with engineer Shekari that Iranian knowledge-based companies had a crucial role in constructing this mega project. What is the role of knowledge-based firms in the process and the development of this project?
شرکت‌های دانشمند تو بخش‌های مختلف میتونن کمک بکنن.
Our knowledge-based companies can help us a lot in different fields. They produce main items like reactors, pumps, compressors and accurate tools. They are working for different parts of petrochemical industry. These companies are also involved in producing catalysts, which are being used in making petrochemicals.
Moreover, in this project, the country's young engineers were able to produce an Iranian catalyst for converting acetylene to ethylene. This catalyst, which consists of the precious palladium metal based on gamma alumina, plays a key role in the olefin unit for the purification of the ethylene product. It was manufactured by one of the leading knowledge-based companies in the catalyst industry of the country. In the amount of 100 tons and after passing various stages of numerous tests, it was delivered to Gaxaron Petrochemicals. Mr. Saidi said that Iran is now exporting catalysts to different countries around the world.
Right now, a considerable number of catalysts is being manufactured inside Iran. We are even exporting them to countries such as Russia. It's very important. Maybe if we import these catalysts from China, it would cost us less. But here we are talking about acquiring the technical know-how needed to manufacture these catalysts. It's less important in economic terms, but more important in terms of national security.
Mr. Saidi added that the homegrown catalysts have saved the country's petrochemical industry from a catastrophe.
The completion and construction of this project is considered a big achievement, despite numerous international sanctions on Iran. Could you please elaborate on this?
The fact is our country is under sanctions. If we couldn't produce the catalysts in time, our petrochemical units would shut down, like what happened for the Venezuelan refineries or other countries under sanctions. But it did not happen to the Iranian refineries and petrochemical complexes because we had a good infrastructure in this regard.
Overall, Gaxaron Petrochemical Company is supposed to produce 1 million tons of ethylene and 184,000 tons of C3+ annually. Ethylene functions as an intermediary and is used in industries of polymers, synthetic fibers, solvents, lubricants, antifreezes, and alcohols. According to experts, the world's largest ethylene production line is in Iran.
Over the past years, we managed to lay a pipeline known as the West Ethylene Pipeline in the western part of the country. It basically converts the ethane produced in South Mars Field into ethylene used in petrochemical complexes that in turn convert ethylene feedstock into polyethylene. Here, the Gaxaron Petrochemical Complex provides the pipeline with the required ethylene to be used in downstream industries.
The recent inauguration of the Gaxaron Petrochemical Complex is a valuable symbol of the Iranian manufacturer's capabilities in the face of sanctions. According to Iranian officials, the implementation of the project was put on the agenda 2 decades ago, but witnessed many ups and downs during this long period due to embargo-related issues. However, its operations were accelerated in recent years based on the strategic policy and focus of President Raisi's administration on the fast move towards completing the petrochemical industry's value chain. Gaxaron Petrochemicals had 80% physical progress from the beginning of executive operations in 2006 to the first visit of the head of the 13th government to Kohkiluye and Boyer Ahmad provinces. After the visit by the president, the completion of Gaxaron Petrochemical gained a favorable speed. With a special follow-up of the government and the injection of 200 million euros in credit, the physical progress has now been completed. This is Hamidreza Salehi of the Iran Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Salehi believes that the Gaxaron project has a large capacity to generate wealth for the country. He told us about the economic aspects of the project in terms of foreign currency.
The Gaxaron Petrochemical Complex is a mega project. It's been built with over $1 billion worth of investment. According to the country's 7th plan, we're supposed to go from the current capacity of 92 million tons to 158 million tons so that this complex can contribute to this aim along with other petrochemical complexes which are currently under construction. Given that this complex produces ethylene, which is a basic feedstock for many export items, we can count on Gashsaran as a complex that can bring about much added value to our raw materials. And also, given the fact that we're going to shift from oil revenues to non-oil revenues, I think that petrochemical complexes like Gashsaran can play an important role in this regard.
The sanctions had put a big obstacle on the path to complete this project. The purchase of the necessary equipment was facing problems, but with the trust placed on knowledge-based companies and the efforts of Iranian engineers, these equipments were produced domestically. As a result, the impact of sanctions has now become less effective due to the confidence in the ability of young Iranian experts. In this regard, more than 11 items of equipment were ordered from Iranian knowledge-based companies who were able to produce them with the desired quality and on-time delivery. One of the most important items was the safety valve of the streamlines of this complex, which was produced by the Iranian experts. Air separation and nitrogen production has a very important and complex process in which air is compressed 9 times, then its temperature is cooled down to minus 172 degrees Celsius using engineering mechanism and thermodynamic methods to separate nitrogen from air. In other words, safety valves emit neutral gas and steam in case of overpressure. As soon as normal working conditions are restored, they close and do not release more steam.
As for the equipment, before the sanction, it was supplied by foreign companies. It was too expensive and took a lot of time before being shipped into the country. The sanctions, unwillingly, provided the Iranian companies with this opportunity to make up for the lack of required items coming from abroad. It also triggered competition among the Iranian manufacturers. Fortunately, we have reached complete self-sufficiency in this field. For example, we produce furnace burners for olefin units, which requires a high level of technology. These burners used to be imported, but in the Gashsaran petrochemical project, we built nearly 700 burners inside the country, and everything goes without problem.
The production of these types of valves was exclusively in the hands of 5 countries in the past, that is Japan, Korea, America, and 2 European countries. And the foreign model of this equipment was priced at 45,000 euros. But the Iranian part is produced at a 20% lower price than the foreign equivalent in an Iranian knowledge-based company.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick glance at some news excerpts. Welcome to the news section of the program, where we will go over some news excerpts from different news websites, starting with Tasnim News. Expanding foreign trade, a major achievement of Iran's petrochemical industry, NPC chief. Promoting foreign trade and completing the value chain have been the most important measures taken in the petrochemical industry in the administration of President Ebrahim Raisi.
The NPC has conducted several expert-level talks with neighboring and regional countries, which led to the development of foreign cooperation in the fields of selling catalysts and chemicals, offering technical engineering services, supplying relevant parts and equipment, etc. Mehnous says, NPC chief, foreign states keen on cooperation with Iran petrochemical sector. Iran's National Petrochemical Company managing director said Iran's achievements in the petrochemical industry have motivated some foreign states to call for cooperation with the country and import Iranian-made products, equipment, and catalysts. Shah Mirzayi referred to an efficient and highly skilled workforce as one of the main factors behind the achievement of the petrochemical industry in Iran. Tasnim News reads, Iran's oil ministry increases output, completes projects, OG. Iran's oil minister said increasing investment, completing semi-finished oil projects, and boosting oil, gas volume, refining and petrochemical output have been the most important measures taken by the oil ministry since 2 years ago when the current administration assumed office. According to Tehran Times, NPC offering petchem complexes discount on feedstock to diversify output. The managing director of Iran's National Petrochemical Company has said petrochemical complexes and investors can benefit from discounts on feedstock by diversifying their output and completing the industry's value chain. He stated that methanol-producing units across the country will enjoy up to 30% discount on the delivered feed unconditionally. This brings us to the end of this section. Please stay tuned as we go back to our main narrative. The manufacture of petrochemicals adds to the contamination of the air, water, and soil, according to the environmentalists. This can have an impact on smaller systems, such as individual ecosystems, but it also has global implications. Greenhouse gases emitted during the manufacture of petrochemicals, for example, can contribute to global climate change. In relation to these issues, another case of relying on domestic ability in Gaxaran Petrochemical Company was the construction of a chemical wastewater treatment unit by domestic executive contractors to address the environmental concerns. The design, supply of equipment, and construction of the most advanced chemical wastewater treatment unit, known as ZLD in Iran, with a capacity of 250 cubic meters per hour, has been implemented by the Iranian contractor in the Gaxaran plant, which, while supporting domestic producers, is committed to preserving the environment. The world's latest technologies of ZLD has been used in order to prevent the exit of liquid effluent from the complex and to comply with the environmental requirements. Therefore, the final output of this wastewater treatment is without any liquid effluent and leachate, and in fact, the output of this system is cake-like solid sludge. Also, to remedy the impact of air pollution and to gain other engineering advantages, Gaxaran Petchem is the first company in the country to use olefin furnaces that were also made in Iran. All 670 Iranian burners, which are the heart of the olefin unit, were built using domestic capacity in this complex.
The Gaxaran Petrochemical Complex is an environmentally friendly project. Its main aim is to complete the basket of products in the Iranian petrochemical industry. It completes the production chain. It collects ethane gas, which flares up in the air, and purifies it before being used as feedstock. In other words, it acts as the middle link for both downstream and upstream industries.
Some geopolitical experts believe that the sanctions on Iran have backfired as they force the country to rely on more domestic sources to expand its massive oil and gas sector. Indeed, the various products produced by this petrochemical plant and the supply of raw materials to thousands of workshops and downstream industries will play an important role in improving the economic situation and creating employment in the region. On the other hand, earning foreign currency and ending dependence on foreigners for manufacturing needs are other advantages of such national projects. Petrochemical products are among Iran's top 9 oil exports and play a crucial role in diversifying the country's revenue sources.
In a bid to reduce reliance on oil revenues and to create a buffer against the impact of sanctions, the Islamic Republic has been keen on expanding its petrochemical sector. The global petrochemicals market size is valued at $584.5 billion in 2022 and is expected to expand at a compound annual growth rate of 7% from 2023 to 2030. To take advantage of this market, Iran's national petrochemical company, known as NPC, is injecting $2.7 billion into six petrochemical projects with a combined production capacity of about 5 million tons per year. These projects are slated to become operational by the end of the current Iranian calendar year, that is March 2024. This move comes as part of Iran's strategy to bolster one of its most lucrative industries amid the illegal regime of U.S. sanctions. In light of that, the investment in the petrochemical industry is not a new trend for the Iranian establishment. As per NPC, approximately $79 billion has already been invested in Iran's petrochemical industry. The continued investment under the administration of President Ebrahim Raisi signals the strategic importance of sustainability in Iran's economic plans. Moreover, Gashsaran Petrochemical, in addition to supplying its downstream industries with ethane produced from petroleum gases, creating wealth and taking great strides in supporting domestic manufacturing, plays an effective role in improving the local economic conditions of Gashsaran and other surrounding cities. Accordingly, as part of President Raisi's speech in the inauguration ceremony, he emphasized the importance of the role of large industrial companies in the development and meeting the needs of the cities where they are being built.
Would you please explain in what ways is the Gashsaran Petrochemical Complex significant?
Today, if we are constructing petrochemical complexes, it's in fact part of our export-oriented strategy. We seek to take part in different markets from all across the world. With the Gashsaran Petrochemical Project, we've demonstrated that we're able to move from exporting oil as a raw material towards exporting petrochemicals with added value.
The initial income of the Gashsaran petrochemical industry for the province is estimated to be $18 million annually.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Iran Today. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and send your topic requests. Till next time, take care.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 كتاب الله.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Mir Baghiri. Stay tuned.
تبعیت یعنی چی؟ تبعیت رو معنا کردن یعنی ملحق به پیغمبر بشی. دستور دیگه ای که در قرآن
What is the meaning of obedience to Allah and Prophet Muhammad? It means to join Prophet Muhammad and Allah. Another meaning, which is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, is to be submissive to Prophet Muhammad, both in heart and in action. Allah in the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 65, states, But know by your Lord, they will not believe until they make you a judge in their disputes. Then do not find within their hearts any dissent to your verdict and submit in full submission.
هر دو تا آدمی که معصوم نیستن با هم زندگی بکنن اختلاف نظر پیدا میکنن.
Dispute happens between two non-infallible people everywhere and in every time. To solve such disputes, Allah has put a scale among the people, and that is the Prophet of Allah. People must make Prophet a judge at the time of their disputes. Also, listening to the judgments of Prophet Muhammad means to believe in him both in heart and deed. Therefore, referring to Prophet Muhammad and listening to him is the prerequisite for being submissive to Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hojjatul Islam Mir Bagheri. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.